I used to listen to people asking for help. That's what I was trying to do, was help people. But I was fooling myself. Darkness only responds to darkness. I'm Daredevil.
I have made many mistakes, but I accept the debt I'm paying because of them.
Prison has changed me.
What is it you're saying?
I want to make a deal.
He's claiming to have changed, but they don't know him like I do.
The last time that we spoke, you threatened me.
That is something that I cannot forgive.
I'll stop him for good this time.
There's only one way to stop me, but you're not going to do it.
Are you sure about that?
Welcome back, everyone. This is Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and joining me on this podcast, Mr. Clarence Brown. Clarence, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I am doing quite well. I feel like we've had a little bit of hiatus. We've been several weeks since an episode, but I am glad to be back talking about comic book characters. What about you?
Yeah, man, a lot of exciting things going on in the world of television comics. So I'm definitely glad to dive into some of that and talk about it.
So why don't we just get right into it? And tonight's episode, or for this episode, depending on when you may be listening to it, may be in the middle of the day. But whenever you're listening to it, we're talking about Daredevil season 3. And you watched this before I did, and you got all the way through before I even started, which is unusual for the two of us, because usually we're either watching it together or I'm just a little bit ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm just hoping my memory doesn't elude me, because it has been a few weeks since I've seen it.
Well, it's been a few weeks for me, too. Do you want to know why I waited? You have any idea?
You watching something else?
No, I was actually kind of ticked off at Netflix and Marvel, and it was like, I'm not watching Daredevil until you said you had watched it. And I said, okay, I'll give it a try.
Why are you ticked off at Netflix and Marvel? Because that makes no sense.
All right. Well, they canceled Luke Cage.
You weren't feeling this way when they canceled Iron Fist.
Yeah, but Luke Cage to me was much better than Iron Fist. What do you think?
Hey, man. Well, look, there's been all type of rumors that maybe this is going to spin into something else. I personally don't think they're going to do any other type of heroes for hire or anything like that. I kind of think that's just it, unless Disney's online streaming service, whatever it's going to be called, decides to do it, because they're bolstering their online streaming service. They've also already announced some Star Wars properties such as The Mandalorian, as well as bringing the Clone Wars back for a final season. So I don't think, you know, they're going to bring it back on Netflix. I think that's just it. Now, if they bring those same characters back over on the Marvel streaming service, I mean, on the Disney streaming service, I'll be all down for that. But I just think maybe their relationship with Netflix is coming to an end.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, especially since there are also Avengers related characters that have been announced for their own either miniseries and or Marvel streaming service, Disney streaming service proper, like a series proper. Have you heard about those?
I've heard of rumors of Bucky Barnes and Falcon maybe having a show together. Is that what you're talking about?
That is one of them. I've also
heard, just a rumor.
Well, and the others that I've heard, which two interesting characters. One of them I really, really like, which is the Scarlet Witch.
Uh-huh.
And the other one being Loki.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Let me ask you, let's get back to Daredevil. Let me ask you, on a summary view, what did you think of Series 3? Did you like it?
I loved it for the most part. And in fact, I really didn't have any real qualms about it. You know, I think it had one of the best fight sequences that I've seen in any television show ever. And you know, I bragged on that fight sequence and showed it to others. And I'm sure we'll get into it. Prison scene. But, you know, overall, I love the story of this FBI agent who's kind of been fooled in a sense or used because, you know, everybody is secretly working for Wilson Fisk. I think overall it's just a really good storyline.
I've often heard you and Lee both make comments when we're talking about different stories and talk about how there are themes in the stories and, you know, the overall arch message that you're trying to portray. And there's oftentimes, maybe it's just I'm oblivious to it or I don't see themes, but this one to me, more than anything I think I've watched in recent memory, came about for me with this theme of how your actions have consequences and your relationships and, you know, dealing with the consequences of your actions. I just saw that repeat over and over and over for all these different characters throughout this particular story that revolved around this entire series. So for me, I just thought that was really interesting, more so than any other thing that was going on. Yes, you're right. Fantastic fight scene that you're talking about. But that to me was just really something that stood out to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on, you know, how I guess sort of a winding road of consequences and of actions and things like that. I totally get your point on that, especially again, like going back to the FBI agent, how he was put up against this tightrope and he felt like this certain thing was his only way out. And it's sort of probably like it happens in real life. Somebody threw him a bone, but instead of that being a something that was genuine and true, it was something that was steeped in deception. And turns out there were chess pieces moved in the past that pushed him in that direction. And as well as so many people around him that were on the take, so to speak.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm fighting with myself at this moment in which way I want to go with this, because on one level, I don't want to mention, once again, here's a Donald Trump reference, but but on the other hand, I think Wilson Fisk, because he was in New York, I just kept feeling that they were trying to make some Donald Trump commentary. Was that just me, or did you feel that at any point either?
Well, I see how you can maybe extrapolate that out of the things that are going on. And if you really, really want to dig deep and look into some of the stuff that we think of has been going on in the administration or with Donald Trump, period, I can see how you can come up with that. Personally, me, I didn't actually feel any of that. You know, I heard somebody else make a reference to, oh, he's in the top of this hotel and this is like Trump Tower. I didn't really feel that. I don't know why. And maybe, I think maybe for me, well, let me back up a little bit. I usually get those references. I usually am all on top of that when it kind of shadows something that's going on in real life or relating to something that's happening in current events. But for some reason with this, I just never felt that. And I don't really know why. And maybe you can explain to us, we the listeners, why you are feeling that.
Because one thing I enjoyed about watching this was, while I know who Daredevil is, and I know the names of Foggy Nelson and Karen, and I know, of course, who, you know, Kingpin is, I've never been a diehard, let me read about Daredevil. I've barely ever bought any of the Daredevil books. Reading and watching this and seeing the story unfold and knowing that it was related somewhat and based on a Daredevil story, it was still new to me. So I didn't have that kind of to fall back on. That being said, I know what the Kingpin is, and I know who he is, and I know the basic structure of, you know, what he does. He's basically the Kingpin. So maybe not having all of that knowledge gave me a need for an imprint, and the closest imprint that I could put to identify that character with was Donald Trump. Maybe.
No, I get that. I get that. I certainly get that.
So what did you think of Matt's decision to take himself out of the picture and be away from Foggy and being away from Karen all those months. What did you think about that?
That felt like a very similar storyline. And maybe I'm thinking of Spider-Man or something like that, where the person feels they need to totally dissect themselves from all of their friends and all the familiar things. I mean, number one, because it's those people become targets. And he doesn't want to be a liability to them. And is that a good thing? Does that change him as a person? I think it does, because I think you need your friends, your people, your peeps to balance you. And I think Foggy says as much. I can see his reasoning, why he would want to do it. Again, his friends being liabilities in certain situations. And it would be better for everyone to just think Daredevil is dead, you know. Hmm. Or and I can see his reasoning there, but ultimately I think he needs them, and I'm glad he eventually went back to what he knew and, you know, became. Did he ever wear the suit? I finna say he became Daredevil, but I don't think he ever wore the suit this season.
No, he didn't. He, you know, throughout the entire season, the character that will become Bullseye is Daredevil, evil Daredevil, but Daredevil nonetheless.
Yeah. What did you think about the decision to kind of alienate himself?
You know, it goes back to that, you know, your motivations and dealing with things that you've done. I agree that he saw himself as putting them in harm's way. And I look at myself. There's been things that I've done that I have regretted. And, you know, you have to live with that and you have to make up what you've done and so forth. So, I mean, I see his point and I see where he's coming from. The only problem that I have with him and the way he returned to them, he only came back when he needed something. I did not like he comes back and steals the wallet.
And used them, basically.
Yes.
I did not like that at all. I will say, like, I do like that him being alienated, it set up this beautiful thing of where this nun is taking care of him. And we think it's just some nun that he knew while growing up. And I think where we get with that by the end of the story is kind of a beautiful thing. And if we have to have that alienation from the friends for 3 months to get that growth for him, as well as the nun, which we find out is his mother. If we have to have that 3 months of alienation for the growth on both ends right there, I think it's worth it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, sometimes it takes distance to get a new perspective. And I think that's what you're saying is, you know, you have to reestablish. And I think that's what, even though he was wrong in how he connected back with Foggy and Karen again by using them, by the end, we see their relationship and their friendships so much stronger, in my opinion, than what they were in this first season.
Yeah. They definitely continue to grow closer. And, you know, and even the fact that they think this guy is dead, you know, we see, especially where Foggy kind of comes to terms with it. Even though he's reluctant to say the words dead, he does come to terms with it. But we see Karen is just not going to give up. If she hears any inkling of anything that might sound like a Daredevil, she is all on top of it and she won't let him die, which, you know, that shows that both of those guys are true friends.
So let me ask you about Karen for a moment. What did you think about this backstory that they share about Karen and the things that had happened in her past?
Oh, man, Karen is a bad girl, man. I couldn't believe it, but it does make the fact that she was able to kill Fisk's right hand man, lawyer guy, last season or a couple seasons ago, whenever it was. It makes the fact that she was able to do that maybe a bit more believable, because I believe in the first two seasons, all we heard is she had a rough past, but we didn't really get anything laid out or explained. So I think it was worth having a full episode to just kind of have a flashback of her growing up and why she is the person she is. I think that was really good. And, you know, to also show the alienation from her father and why. So it was, I think it was good to get backstory for her. What did you think of that whole episode?
So normally I would be on the team of this would be a case where we need 10 episodes instead of 13. However, in this case, I totally agree with you. I think that this added to the story and added to her story, explained more to her and who she is. And again, back to motivations, why she's doing living with the repercussions. I didn't feel that she was as bad. I think she made some bad choices, but I think she was grieving for her mother's death. And yeah, she just went the wrong way in her grief.
Yeah, true. But even if you're doing something out of grief, you're still doing some pretty crappy stuff.
Yes. Oh, agree. I'm not absolving her in any way.
Dating a drug dealer, you know. I mean, I get what you're saying. But yeah, but she was dating a drug dealer and selling drugs at some point. So she was doing some pretty crappy stuff. But like you said, maybe for buried reasons in her psyche because of her mother dying and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And having still wrong. A lot of her.
Yeah. No, I'm saying she was still wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. I also loved how we got this a little more peek into Falky Nelson's, family as well, because I don't think we got any of that in the first two seasons. We got to meet basically his whole family and his brother that was doing some pretty shady stuff as well. So here's
my thing with that. I felt that Foggy was trapped between family responsibility and his own life. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah, I did.
You know, and I kind of felt bad for him, you know, because it was either, you know, you've worked so hard to be a lawyer, but mom and dad want you to come back and take over the meat store.
And you see where that is even further amplified, where, again, we talk about these machinations of what Fisk is doing in the background and playing these cards and moving chess pieces in a way that suits him. And we found out, like you made the comparison to Foggy's lawyer, upscale life versus his family and the meatpacking business. And I think that is amplified even a bit more when Foggy decides to run for office to try to shed some light on the fact that Fisk is basically getting away with murder. But Fisk is played three moves ahead of him already and has gotten his brother into some deep crap with the family business. So again, it just kind of proves that Fisk is a smart guy, and he is several moves ahead, planning out how things are going to go down.
All right. So for the chess game, let me ask you a question. You know, so I've never played chess, but I do know you have. Don't you have a queen?
No, I know nothing about chess.
Okay, so I'm going to assume you have a queen. If you capture the king, maybe you have a queen. I don't know. So again, neither one of us played chess, but let's assume that there is a queen in chess. And so, if that were the case, do you see if he's playing chess and being three steps ahead? Is Vanessa a piece on the board that is a hindrance or a virtue or a help to him?
Wow, that was a huge stretch. Man, Vanessa, I think that was maybe my biggest surprise. Well, number two surprise of this season. One, Matt's mother being the nun, and two, Vanessa being a bad mofo as well, because I did not expect that. Vanessa comes off as a sweet, nice lady interested in the arts. But lo and behold, she is as dirty and as rotten as Wilson Fisk is. And I'm like, man. But when you speak of Vanessa giving Fisk his motivation, I think that's true. And I don't think it's a hindrance. I think that is everything that is driving what he does. And we see where at first Fisk is reluctant to bring Vanessa into his world because he doesn't think she can handle it. But freaking lo and behold, she is all in and will one up anything that Fisk does because she is a bad joker herself. So I think it was kind of a, even though they both were bad, I think it was kind of a beautiful thing seeing Fisk find somebody who was just as conniving and treacherous as he was. I thought that worked for the show, but I did not expect her to be that way at all. What about you?
Well, I didn't expect it, and I couldn't figure out, and I watched it, and I've, you know, rewound and watched it again about three different times. The look on his face when she does the one up that you just said, and in that final last or the second to the last episode, and he's got this look of, I couldn't tell if it was shock or awe or dislike or which it was, but did you take that as in he was happy to see that, or was he threatened by that?
That was Wilson Fisk. No, I'm not going to say that. I think he was very happy. I was just going to like, she probably made him totally hot in the moment.
Yeah.
I need to go back. Why? I didn't watch him one time. I need to go back and see what you're talking about. But I'm pretty sure he was very happy in that moment because he found somebody that matches him not only in taste, in style, in stature, but, you know, to find out that she's also as like I said, treacherous as he is, I believe that meant everything to him. You know, to equate that to most geeks, when you find someone who's interested in Lord of the Rings, you know, you find a girl that's interested in, you know, any Star Wars, like, oh crap, this is a keeper. And I feel like that's kind of the moment he had when she said those things. He was like, oh yeah, it's on now. You know, we're meant to be.
Okay. So while I agree with you, in his case, I think that made a much more treacherous, villainous, and overall evil, for lack of a better word, Fisk, because that image that he had of her as being a little bit demure and nice and, you know, good, for lack of a better word, that going away and seeing her for what she really was, there's nothing to hold him back anymore, because I think that not wanting to disappoint her somewhat held him back from being as vicious as he might could be.
Yeah, definitely. There's nothing there to temper the beast. I mean, again, like if I'm the only one in the family that likes video games, but then I find a girl, a wife, and she loves video games too, we're probably going to do that twice as much than we would have otherwise, you know? So instead of her, you know, bringing him to a more balanced as far as normal person range, the fact that she's in it, she's a ride or die chick, should I say, he is going all whole hog into this because they are the same person.
Very good point. So tell me, what did you think about the villain of the series? I know, you know, Wilson Fisk is the ultimate villain, but the one that did most of the action and was involved, well, actually, was he involved in the, he wasn't involved in that prison fight, was he?
No, he was not.
No, he wasn't. That was Matt. But okay, so Bullseye, what did you think of him?
Was Bullseye a real name? I can't remember.
Let's call him Agent Bullseye.
Benjamin Poindexter.
Okay, Poindexter. Dex.
Dex.
All right, so let me ask you this. What about the villain? Because even though I know Wilson Fisk is the ultimate villain, the one who did most of the action, Agent Poindexter, as we also know, Bullseye. What did you think of him?
I thought he was played very well in this series. Of course, he has a lot of the traits that would allow him to appear, as far as fighting and stuff, as Daredevil would, because we know he's highly trained in martial arts and was a, SEAL agent or some type of special forces thing.
Right.
Now, what I did not find believable is the way he could target stuff, but I know that's his whole shtick is to be Bullseye. But the fact that he could like ricochet gunshots off a terrace and go into the floor above him and hit people. And he has no super abilities. None. That just felt, at least from what I researched, he didn't have any. Maybe you can prove me wrong.
No, I'm not going to prove you wrong. I'm just thinking of Suicide Squad and Will Smith's Deadshot.
But he doesn't do anything as ridiculous as Bullseye did in this season.
True.
I don't think Hawkeye does anything as ridiculous as Bullseye did in this season. I mean, I can see if somebody's in front of him, but the whole Ricochet thing, I really didn't get. That kind of threw me out of it. I thought it was cool, but it just didn't look believable. I think we had some of the greatest fight moments when he and Daredevil in the newspaper office, and pretty much anything he could reach and grab was a weapon because he was just that lethal. So, you know, that, and I also like how they went into some of his backstory about how this dude is psychotic. He is a crazy dude. I mean, killing his baseball coach when he was 10.
Yes.
This guy is crazy nuts. And the actor did an excellent job. The actor who in another life could have been Captain America, mind you. I don't know if you read this story.
Did.
But he did an excellent job. But, you know, some of the things about Bullseye himself is just kind of what disconnected me. But what did you think? I mean,
you know, I like the fact that he really wasn't Bullseye. You know, they did it as an origin story without him, you know, picking up and wearing the Bullseye corny costume that he wears in the comics. So I was cool with that. I thought he was good. It wasn't Matt pining over Elektra like he did last season. It was more story fighting, and because I really didn't enjoy, you know, the last season with Elektra. So I really thought that this was a good season, and I thought Bullseye was a good villain. Yeah, I agree. Some of that was a little over the top, but I just thought that was Bullseye, candidly.
Like you mentioned, they could have easily just put him in a Bullseye suit and Bullseye would have been the villain. But I think the fact that they did this whole stolen identity, that made the season way more interesting. And honestly, I was not really excited about this season at all until I saw the first trailer where we find out this guy is impersonating Daredevil. And so that got me excited, and I started researching and reading articles at that point. So I think it's an excellent premise to get people in the season and get them to see something that really hasn't been done in the Daredevil world, but certainly has been done in comics before.
So do you think there will be a Daredevil series 4?
You know what? I'm a little puzzled. I mean, if you want to talk about the cancellations and stuff again, I'm a little puzzled because, of course, we've got Iron Fist and we got Luke Cage canceled. The fact that they have not canceled
Jessica Jones,
which I don't feel was any better than those two, to be honest, because Daredevil was like twice as good as any other one. I mean, just honestly, in my opinion. So I don't see why Jessica Jones is still hanging around. The fact that that's still hanging around may lead some credence to it being a Heroes for Hire season coming up.
So
I don't know. I don't know.
Mm. So I actually, after this one, hope there is another one because it was enough. Like I said, I think I enjoyed it better than the first season, and I enjoyed the first season. So, you know, kudos to them. So I have one last question for you. Did you think anyone was going to get killed, or were you surprised?
Wait, who got killed?
The priest.
I don't remember. Oh, nah, who cares? I'm sorry, that's bad to say, the priest. but in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't really a major death for the show. I mean, he's been around since season one. It's his confessional guy, I guess. And, of course, he grew up with him. I guess he's a pretty major character in the Daredevil show world. But yeah, I'm not surprised that just one non-main character got killed. Now, if somebody like the mother got killed, I would have been like, whoa. I would have been really, really worried about that. But, you know, as it goes, I think his death was not that bad.
So when I read before I started watching, because I was about 2 weeks late watching it, I read that, you know, and they would always redact the name, and I assumed it was someone else because someone else had died in the comics. And whenever it was the father, I'm kind of like you. I was kind of like pleasantly surprised.
So who dies in the comics?
At some point, Karen dies. I think, and I may be wrong here, but I think Fisk gets her hooked back on cocaine or something again, and she either overdoses or something happens and she dies.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So it wasn't her. I really thought it was going to be her when they started showing her, you know, without the makeup and the red eyes and, you know, looking haggard and for lack of a better word.
Hey, the newspaper guy died too.
And the newspaper guy died. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And Agent Nadim died.
Yep.
I forgot about that too. Man. Which was a good twist in how they did that. Yes.
Yeah. Man, that poor guy.
Yep. I didn't want him to die. I really wanted him to have a happy ending more than anybody.
But I do like his family was okay. And I guess his wife led to like the eventual downfall of the
Kingpin.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm trying to remember what she did at the end to.
She took his phone to Foggy.
Yes.
But she took it to the FBI, not knowing that it was the phone she was giving him.
Yes. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really awesome. That was, in the words of someone on Doctor Who, that was proper awesome. So if you were to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you give it?
Oh, I'd give it easy 5.
Cool.
5.
Yeah. I think I would give it a 5 too, because I didn't get bored.
Probably the best season of a Marvel Netflix show. Up there with the first season of Daredevil. I thought it was really excellent. Again, we didn't talk about it, but the prison fight sequence.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I guess there's not much to say about it, except it's awesome. And it just has to be watched by every human. It is the classic Daredevil single camera scene. So there's no camera cuts for like 10 minutes. It is whatever they did in the first hallway scene in the first season. They just did it like probably 3 or 4 times that with this prison scene. No camera cuts. Of course, there probably could be some computer type camera cuts, but it doesn't appear to be any for a whole like 10, 12 minutes. It's awesome.
Yep. Agreed. Totally agreed. So I think we've daredeviled from the beginning to the end of that series. So I have one last question for you. If anyone were looking to find other things that you're working on, where could they go?
Yes, you can go to discussingnetwork.com, where I'm also on the Doctor Who podcast, which is Discussing Who, as well as Discussing Trek.
Cool beans. You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.